From Dublin, Texas, Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. Isn't it interesting that when we find ourselves in our own cisterns, in our own holes, that maybe we've even dug for ourselves, that even God will come along and say, hey, I'm here. You may not understand what's going on. You may not have the big picture right now, but I'm right here. The Lord was with them, and the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand.
Living on every word.
All that he did to prosper in his hand.
Word.
You have your Bibles, turn to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. We've been on a series on knowing God, knowing who He is. Question that we asked many weeks ago is, do you know Him? Hosea chapter 6, 1 says this, come, let us return to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel far away from God this week? There's some of you here today probably feel far away from God. You probably have some circumstances in your life. You have some things going on or taking place. Or maybe it's just been kind of a boring couple of weeks or months. And all of a sudden, you've left God out of your thinking. You've left God out of what He's wanting to do in your life. And therefore, you're far away from Him right now. Perhaps you've drifted from Him. Perhaps you put your mind and your heart on other things, the things of this world. And here's a great sentence for you today. Come, let us return to the Lord. Huh? Come, let us return to the Lord. For He has torn us. See, you might be feeling torn. You might be sick. It says He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He'll raise us up on the third day that we may live before Him. Now here it is. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. What you have in this passage of Scripture is this. It's the promise of God's life, God's presence, God's Word, God's fulfillment in your life if you'll return to Him. If you will live a lifestyle of returning to your great God and your great Savior, Jesus Christ. Even if you have been wounded by God, even if you have been sick, even if you've walked in some kind of rebellion, He is saying, come, return to Me. Return to My life. My light, My glory. Return to Me and you will be healed. Now here's the point here. The point is that we're to press on. We're to press in, press on, lean into the circumstances that of our lives that we might know Him. It's what we call persevering. Persevering to the end, persevering saints. It's where even though I might not be feeling God, even though I may be far away from Him, even if I've walked in sin and rebellion and have just been down and out, I'm to press on and lean into Him. If you'll do that, I want to tell you, God will come as He's promised in this passage of Scripture. He will come as you press in and lean in to the situation or the circumstances. But it's not leaning into the circumstances, is it? It is leaning into Him through the circumstances. Are you leaning into Christ today? Are you returning to Him? Now here's the passage in the third verse. Let us press on. Let us lean in to know Him. And that's what we've really been talking about over these past several weeks. Learning to know God. Knowing God in this intimate, growing, vital relationship with Him. The question we've asked is how do you know Him? How do you come to know Him? You come to know Him in how God has revealed Himself to you and to us. He has revealed Himself through history as the great I Am, the eternal God who never changes. The word is Yahweh or Jehovah. We've looked at several Hebrew compound names for God. Jehovah Jireh, I Am, your provider, the eternal one who provides for every need that you have. So if you're empty today, if you have this emptiness about your spirit, I want to tell you this right now. God has not moved in your life. You've moved away from Him. Or I like to say it this way. Maybe God has moved. You just haven't followed along with Him. How's that? That sounds a lot better, doesn't it? God continues to move us to a deeper walk, a deeper life with Him. And He is Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide everything you need to see that happen. We've seen Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. If you don't have peace today, if you don't have peace in your heart, with peace with God, peace in your marriage, I want to ask you to call out to Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. He will be your peace in your life. We looked at the name of Jesus, the great deliverer. Jesus simply means deliverer, who delivers us from our sinfulness. We've looked at Jehovah Makedesh, the God who sanctifies. And last week we began looking at Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. I am present in your life. You know, one of the things that just strikes me about God's presence is how real it was in the lives of people in the Old and New Testament, and how real it can be in your life too. One of those is Moses. I want us to look at Exodus chapter 33, if you would. Exodus chapter 33, who knew the importance of the presence of God in his life. Verse 12 says this, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me." In other words, who's going to go with us? You're saying to go from this place, but who's going to go with us? He said, well, what kind of question is that? And he's got a million Israelites going with him. No, he's saying, who's going to go with the million? You've not told us that yet. And God's going to answer. Watch what he says. Moreover, Moses says, "You've said, I've known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight, and consider too that this nation is your people." In verse 14, notice what he says, and he said this, "I'm going to go with you." You're asking me who's going to go with you? I'm going to go with you. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, I'm going to tell you, I believe what he said to him. This is how he said it. I'm sure glad to hear that. I sure am glad to hear that. You're promising me your presence, and your presence is so important as I've experienced you, as I've heard you, as I've heard your voice, as I've known your ways, as you have revealed yourself to me. He says to him, if your presence does not go with us, then do not lead us up from here. Wouldn't that be something if every moment of our lives is just absolutely, totally involved with the presence of God in our lives? Conscious of Jehovah Shammah. Conscious of the presence of God in our lives. To say, oh God, if you take us to this job, if you take us to this city, if you take us to this place, don't lead us unless you go with us. Unless you go with us. Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, then do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we and I, your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? And here's the question that we're asking today, is how distinguished are you from the rest of the world? How distinguished is your marriage from the rest of the world? How distinguished is your family from the rest of the world? Or how much do you just look like the world? You've got God's presence in your life. There's two things that are going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen is that you're going to have rest. Do you know that? That you're going to have rest. You know, we live in a society today that is go, 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 and go some more, right? I mean, right now, from the cradle to the grave, we're going people. And we're wrecks about it. We're nervous wrecks about it. Come on, let's just be honest. And you know what will distinguish you when in your goings and your comings is a peace and a rest on your life that is only by the presence of God in your life. That will distinguish you from the rest of the world. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Now, this could be, I mean, any situation in your life. I mean, you might have this burden in your life. You might be weary. You might be weary from just being sick so long, right? You've been dealing with a physical ailment and you're just weary. Or it may be a spiritual problem or a spiritual struggle. You're just weary with it. I mean, and then it could be just trying to do all the religious things like the Pharisees were trying to get folks to do. Weary, heavy laden over all these and thous and its and all these things that you got to do. just weary. And he said, listen, are you weary today? And look at the source of that weariness and realize that if you'll come to me, I'm going to do a work in your life. And I'm going to relieve the stress and relieve the worry. Notice what he says. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now watch, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Now I want to tell you, you take God's yoke upon you, guess who's yoked next to you? Yeah, Jesus. Right there. And God says, listen, if you'll get yoked to me, which I'm going to tell you is the presence of God in your life on a daily basis. Yoke with Christ. If you're yoked with Christ, where's Christ? He's right there. And He's moving along with me. And He says, listen, if you'll take my yoke, if you'll welcome my presence in your life, if you'll welcome Jehovah Shammah right now in your life, you may be weary and you may be heavy laden, you may be burdened by all these things in your life, but I'm going to tell you, you'll have rest. I want to ask you, families, I want to ask you, husbands and wives, is there rest in your life today? If there's not rest in your life, it's because you're yoked to the wrong thing today. And His promise is certain. You'll take my yoke upon you. You'll learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. You know what God says to Moses? God says to Moses, listen, my presence is going to go with you, and this is the kind of rest I'm going to give you. Do you want that kind of rest? I don't know about you, but I've looked at my own schedule with church things and job and with sports and with all the things that go on in a growing family's life. And I tell you, I'm a prime candidate for stress. Just look at my schedule. But if I'm yoked to Jesus, no way. No way. I'm yoked to His presence and the promises. You're a restful people. That's what will distinguish you from your neighbor. That's what will distinguish you from the rest of the world. When they go through their trial and they go through their struggle, they're nervous wrecks. But what are we? We're not nervous wrecks. We got rest because God's all over us. Amen. Amen. Second thing that God says to Moses, or that Moses says, Lord, if you don't go with us, how will we be distinguished from the rest of the world? The only thing that distinguishes us is you. It's you. And so not only when God is present, there's rest in my life, there is distinction from the rest of the world. And the question I want to ask is, how are we distinguished? And I want us to look at an illustration from the Old Testament also on the illustration of Joseph. There's three passages of scriptures that I want us to look at this morning. But I want you to notice something about this. When you see Joseph being taken to Egypt in slavery, you find something very significant, and that is God's presence on his life. God's all over him. And it's interesting that here he comes from a favored position in the family, right? He's the favored son. He's the favored son. His brothers, that's why his brothers want to kill him. Here's a favored son that the other brothers say, we don't like him. And so what we'll do is we'll get rid of him. And you had a very significant day in this young man's life. And that significant day is when they threw him down in that hole and they decided after they ate their meal together how they were going to dispose of him and kill him. Brothers, you know the story. Caravan passes by. And so why should the blood of our brother be on our hands? Let's just sell him into slavery. So they sell him. And he ends up in a house called Potiphar. Potiphar's house. And I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1, what it says. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. Isn't it interesting that when we find ourselves in our own cisterns, in our own holes, that maybe we've even dug for ourselves, that even God will come along and say, hey, I'm here. Knock, knock, I'm here, don't miss me. I'm here right now. I want to minister to you. I want to minister life to you. And all of a sudden he finds himself sold into slavery and God's still saying, I'm here, Joseph. I'm right here. You may not understand what's going on. You may not have the big picture right now, but I'm right here. I'm right here. The Lord was with him. Watch this. So he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Isn't that something? Pagan Potiphar. Pagan of the world. Who worshiped demons. Saw the God of the ages, the eternal one, the mighty God, all over this Hebrew slave. He sees that God's with him. So Joseph found favor in his sight, became a personal servant, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in the house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. The Lord blessed pagan Potiphar because of a Hebrew slave who had God all over him. But there came another significant day in this man's life, Joseph's life. Not only was he sold by his brothers into slavery, I mean, he's living in slavery blessed, and he knows he's blessed. And all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife starts knocking on his door. "You're such a successful man. You're such a good-looking young man. I think I'll have you." And Joseph's first response is, "No, you won't have me." The next day, comes knocking on his door. "You're such a good-looking man, successful, appealing to my eyes. I think I'll have you." Second time, he says, "No, you won't." And day after day after day after day after day, she pursues him. And he, as in that pursuit, continues to say, "No, no, no, no. Because my God is with me, and my God sees, and my God is present, and I could never, ever, ever, ever violate my master's confidence, much less my God's confidence." So he says no. In one fateful day, alone in the house, escaping, his coat drops. She takes it, picks it up, and what does she do? But she yells, "Rape. Look what this guy did to me. Look who you brought into my house. And look what he's done. Look what you've done. Look what he's done." And all of a sudden, in chapter 39, verse 21, Scripture says, in verse 19, it came about that when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him saying, "This is what your slave did to me," that his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoner was confined, and he was there in the jail. Watch this. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. And the chief jailer didn't even supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. God with him. Right there smack in the middle of jail. Potiphar saw it. The jailer saw the presence of God, and then one day, through a series of events, and you can read about it in Genesis, Pharaoh will see the presence of God, the leader of the most civilized, powerful country at that time, would see the presence of Almighty God upon this slave, this Hebrew slave. I want you to turn to 41, verse 38. Notice what happens. Joseph interprets a dream. And Pharaoh said to his serpents, "Can we find a man like this," watch this, "in whom is a divine spirit?" Translation: is there a man in this whole kingdom that has the Holy Spirit but him? He's got the Holy Spirit, the divine spirit on him. He sees the presence of God. I want to ask you this. Husbands, does your wife see the presence of God on your life? Wives, does your husband see that in your life? Do they see the Holy Spirit living in you? Do they see such a difference that you're so distinguished, that the favor of God is upon your life, that Jehovah Shammah rests upon you? Do people see that? Here we have Potiphar, the jailer, and Pharaoh. They all see it. This man's different. He's got something different about him. There's nothing smug about him, nothing arrogant about him, nothing prideful. He's not some guy who'll shove the Bible up your nose. He's got the divine spirit living on him. and in Him. Who else is there? And so in one stroke, from one moment, in the cell of a prison cell in Egypt, He is lifted up. And the Pharaoh says to Joseph in 39, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You will be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments and fine linen and put a gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee," and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I'm Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Isn't that something? He said, "Well, that's Joseph." Now, I want to tell you. I'll tell you who it is. Look at the next verse. Then Pharaoh named Joseph. Listen to this. He gave Joseph an Egyptian name. And this is significant. And he names him Zaphnath-Paneah. And you know, you say, what's that? What is that? And you know, it's a couple of things. Literally, it's God speaks. But there's other translations to it. Another one is this. Listen to this one. Savior of the world. We got famine coming, and we need a Savior. And this is Him. He's here. I want to suggest to you that Joseph is a type and shadow of Christ, bidding the Father's will, who becomes your Savior and my Savior, the Savior of the world. And the famine is not a physical famine, it's a spiritual famine. A spiritual dryness that comes upon people that God comes to save you from and deliver you from. This Pharaoh sees the presence of God and says, "God speaks." So that when he's in this chariot and they hail Zaphnath-Paneah, they're saying, "There goes God speaks. There goes Savior of the world. There goes presence of God upon this man. We see the presence of God on him." They all see it. That's how you're distinguished. People can't help but see the light and the life and how you respond to circumstances. You don't respond like the world. You respond as Christ. And that's what will distinguish you. It'll distinguish you every time. And there's a couple of things about this. You see, there's distinction. How are we distinguished from the rest of the world? The same way Joseph was. By the Spirit of God. When you look at the Spirit of God, Jesus said it in John 14, 15 through 18. He says to his disciples, "Listen, I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send my Spirit. My Spirit's going to come upon you." And he calls him the Helper, the Comforter, the Paraclete. The one called alongside to help. There's our yoke again, see? The paraclete called alongside to help you. Yoke to the presence of God. Yoke to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leading us and guiding us, directing us, showing us the way to go. He says this. He says, "The Spirit, He's with you right now, but this Spirit's going to be in you one day. Not just yoke to you, but in your spirit, in your being." Isn't that what Pharaoh said of Joseph? This divine Spirit's living in him. And he's wise and he's discerning. What is, if we manifest this name, Jehovah Shammah, God with us, being distinguished, and we do it by the Spirit, what is it? It's to manifest God's help, manifest God's power, manifest Jesus. If the Spirit of God comes upon us to help us, I want to tell you, it's not just to help and then say, "Okay, we're finished." It's so that you can become a helper of God. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Joseph was a helper? Sure he was. Right in the presence of God. Right in the hand of God. God using him as an instrument. We often see Acts 1:8. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Manifesting the power of God. Manifesting God's help. Manifesting Jesus. Notice what he says in John 15:26. "When the Helper comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." I want to ask you, church, are you bearing witness of the Father today? Are you bearing witness of Jesus today in all that you do and say? Is Jehovah Shammah real in your life? The way that it's manifested, He is manifested in your life. The way you're distinguished above all the other peoples of this earth is it's by God's Spirit living in you and you walking in agreement with the Spirit and what the Spirit is saying. And are you walking in agreement today? I also see this not only by the Spirit, by God the Spirit, but by God Himself who is our Father. You know what's interesting? Romans 8, 12 through 16. You don't need to turn there. Paul said this, God has put the Spirit within you, and He's placed within you a spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. Dada. And the only time in my children's lives when they called me Dada was the easiest for me to pick them up. When they started saying Daddy and articulating a little bit better, they were getting a little older. Now I could still pick them up because they walk around. But it was so easy when they just said Dada. It's because they were so young. It's their first words that they were learning. Dada. Abba. Abba is an Aramaic word. It's the first word that a Middle East child who speaks Aramaic speaks. Sometimes you see it on CNN. You'll see Middle East carnage. And you'll see babies in the street crying. And if you listen, and I've heard it, you'll hear Abba crying, Abba, Abba. They're crying for Daddy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I cry Abba, when there's that moment that I can truly say in my spirit, Abba, because, you know, it's kind of unfamiliar to us to say Daddy to Jesus, right? Dada. But how close is a child that will say Daddy? Dada. I want to tell you, right there, right in the presence of Almighty God. Joseph was distinguished by the Spirit, God the Spirit, and God the Father, as he would cry out to his daddy, as he would cry out to his father. And I want you to know this, when you talk about manifesting the Spirit and manifesting God's help, power, and to manifest Christ, when you manifest the Father, do you know how you do that? The Bible says you imitate Him. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. I walk in love. Go on and turn there for just a moment, okay? You're going to see two things here. You walk in love and you walk in purity. How you manifest Shammah. Let's begin in chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Watch this. Therefore, I'm saying all this to say this. You be and keep on being imitators of God as beloved children, and here it is, and walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. No filthiness, no silly talk, no coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Because you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. When you go back to Joseph with the presence of God, two things. He walked in love and he walked in purity. Two of the most significant events in a person's life. When his brothers sold him into slavery, there was no bitterness, only love. When they came marching in for grain and he recognized them. And he made himself known to him. The second thing is, he walked in purity. He walked in holiness. The second event of his life, major event in his life, when this woman, Potiphar's wife, came after him and after him and after him, and he said, by the grace of God, no to sin. I will not walk in agreement because God is with me. Jehovah Shammah, I am present in your life.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man doesn't